Welcome to the HMO Experience, the UK's only HMO-focused property podcast, where every Monday, Matt, Jamie and Steve will inform and inspire you about everything to do with HMOs, rent to rent, and how to set up and grow a successful HMO business, whether you're just starting out or you're already on your way.
Hi guys, I'm Matt Harris and welcome to the HMO Experience podcast. I am here with the shining light. Let me introduce you to Jamie. Say hello, Jamie.
Hi, everybody.
Say hello, Steve.
Hello, Steve.
Hello, Steve. Now, we are on episode 17, and we are going to be covering off HMO snagging. And so for the last four or five episodes, we have covered off setting up your property, furniture requirements and design, and leasing compared with and buying your furniture. So now we're going to wrap up the setup process and go through the little snagging bits that you need to take care of to make sure that your property is ready to welcome customers or housemates. So I think with that in mind, we are going to start with Steve, because I know that you love this part of the process, and there are checklists and line items to get done as to make sure that property is ready to go. So I'll hand you over to you, Gosty.
I love a good checklist. Yeah, so when we first started with our rent-to-rent properties, it was a balls up, basically.
Yeah.
So we had a checklist of 38 items to get the house ready.
I thought that was a lot.
Yeah, so did I, mate. It's now 100.
You already had a checklist then?
Yeah.
Okay,
well. 38 items, so things to check. And now it's 108 items.
Yeah.
So, and it's been at 108 for probably about a year or so. So we've been through most of the issues that that have come up. And it was the small things on the rent-to-rent side that really balls us up. What are some of the examples? Missing plugs.
Mm.
So we'd have ensuite rooms with no plugs in it. What do the customers do? They take some bulk roll, scrunch it up, wet it down, fill up the room, fill up the basin, and where does the sodded bloody toilet paper go? It goes down the pipe. What's the next call? Call out the plumber to unplug. Cost £60. Mm-hmm. So
Amazon, how much is a new plug?
£2.99, probably less. But you have to make sure you get the right diameter, because I didn't realise there was two different diameters of plug.
Yeah, there is.
There's one diameter for the kitchen sink, and there's one diameter for bathroom sinks.
How they differentiate?
And then, not only that, you've either got the plugs that are on the end of a chain, which is what most of them are, but some have these little pushy-up things, so that's a completely different type of plug. So that's just one example. Another example, again, in the showers. So, doesn't matter whether it's an ensuite shower or it's a communal shower. Buying a £3, £4 hair catcher will save you a fortune on Mr. Muscle and your handyman going out trying to get hair out of a shower trap. So all these little things.
Unless you have customers with not much hair, and then you're fine.
Well, you say that because blokes are not only hairy on their head.
Oh, okay.
Leave that to the imagination.
X-Wedding podcast.
Yeah, totally. So another example on our first property, we didn't know how long it was going to take to get the broadband in.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually had customers in the house with no broadband. And that was not good service. So we went round checking things like all the sockets, make sure all the sockets work.
Yeah.
And the way that we did that initially was we had a mobile phone charger on the mobile phone. You plug it in, your phone goes boom, whatever the sound is that your phone goes when you charge it. And yeah, that was good. So we go around checking all of these things. And the reason that we do that is so that we can provide a pleasurable experience for our customers moving into the property. Because in our experience, it doesn't matter if you get everything right and one thing wrong. Mm. The thing that the customer is going to remember is the one thing that goes wrong, yeah. whether that be the broadband not working, the light bulb not working when they move into the room, the furniture that you promise when you're doing the viewing is now no longer in the room. Sinks are blocked. Toilets don't flush properly. The dripping of the water tank that has suddenly materialized since you've done. So all these little bits and pieces, when you look at them as in their entirety, are preventable.
Yeah.
And we are on a strong mission to provide excellent customer service, because that's one of the things that, we like to think differentiates us. And in order for us to differentiate and get the better customers, and the better customers usually come with a higher rent, and the higher rents usually follow on to more profit. You have to go through all these little individual bits in order to provide what we would term the perfect moving to our customers. But it's not only when you're opening a house that you need to get these things right. It's when someone leaves the room or the house and new people come in. So it's not just a one-time thing. It's a continual process improvement. It's a mindset of getting things done right first time. Because to have to go back and repeatedly try to repair things, to unblock things, to make things right, costs money. Mm. And we learned this, the shower example. We've got one property that's, sorry girls, it's an all-girl house. We must have spent in the first 18 months, I kid you not, something like £180, £200 on unblocking drains. And a £2.99 hair catcher would have sold that. And we just didn't make the connection. And we were learning. It wasn't in any training that we'd been on. This has all been learned from hands-on experience. So you wouldn't believe it. There are certain better hair catchers than others. So we've tried out plastic hair catchers that have got little protruding fingers. Mm-hmm. They tend to get kicked out of the way because the fingers are protruding above the waist. Mm-hmm. And as the people are in the shower, they're moving around, they'll kick the fingers and you're back to square one. So we go for the flat profiled one that sits into the shower waist, because when someone steps on it, it's going to sit there. Yeah. It's not going to get kicked out of the way. So we go down to that sort of level of detail, which I'm kind of freakish about, to make sure that we save money, because when you're doing rent to rent, every pound has to count, because a lot of your costs are fixed. So therefore, one of the variable costs is your maintenance costs.
Yeah.
So you have to try and do everything you possibly can to mitigate that. That will all translate through to your bottom line. A simple little thing like a £2 hair catcher across 15, 20 properties, you can start to imagine how that starts to build up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. I think the one thing that I have learned throughout this process, other than a really handy tip that you told me about, which is taking pictures of everything, appliances, light bulbs, electrical goods, locks, where the electricity meter is, stopcocks, where the gas meter is, like all bits and pieces like that. So you've got a record that you can access pretty easily, which, to be fair, has served us quite well, because we've managed to answer questions remotely. Oh, where's this? Or this has happened to the washing machine, or the electricity has tripped here. What's going on? And you can, because we've got WhatsApp groups in the houses, we communicate with the housemates and say, look, have you tried this, this, and this? And it is good, because you create a level of engagement which shows that you're aware of the operational aspect of the property. They're more willing to kind of help resolve the situation there and then, rather than saying, oh yeah, cool, let me get, a plumber out next week, or let me get a handyman out, next week. At least you're trying to resolve the situation there and then. But I think in terms of snagging, sorry, camera. In terms of snagging, definitely the plug, for sure. That's something that we've recently introduced. I think the other thing which we which I've tried on the last property, is actually just spending a night there and just test driving it and seeing what is the experience like. Obviously, I know the area, but what's it like sleeping there? How is it like first thing in the morning, turning the hot water on, you know, boiling the kettle, putting the washing machine on, bits and pieces like that. Yeah. Now, you won't necessarily want to do that with every property, but it's definitely worth going through that experience, you know, a couple of times, because that then makes you think, okay, so what else do I need to think of in terms of snagging once I've set up a property?
Yeah. Yeah, and your snagging list will get longer and longer. And that's not meant to sound daunting or onerous, but it just saves so much time and effort and cost down the line.
Yeah.
This is experience. So every new thing you find, you add to the list. That's then your master list for the next property.
Yeah.
It makes your life so much easier.
Yeah.
Property number one is going to be a lot more difficult, you'll make more mistakes than property numbers two, three, four, etc.
Yeah.
So it's worth doing.
Definitely worth doing.
The other advantage of doing that before you actually take the property on, as we've found out a couple of times, is that if there are fundamental issues with what I would call the structure of the property, so the boiler, the showers, the plumbing, the electrics, that can all be negotiated with the owner prior to you taking it on. Because once you take it on, you are responsible. So just by way of an example, the last property that we took on Salisbury Street, it was already tenanted. So we didn't have to go through, you would think, that check-in process, but we did. And we found out that two of the handles to the windows and two of the bedrooms were defective. Now, the previous company that was supposed to be managing it was supposed to have got that fixed, and we were told it had been fixed. But when we went to check it ourselves, it still hadn't been done.
Right.
So had I taken that property on and not spotted it before I'd signed the agreement, that's probably like another 120 quid straight off my bottom line on a brand new house that we're just trying to get up and running. But also the other positive impact is that we got that resolved. So what does that say to our new customers?
Mm.
It says that we are taking their complaints seriously. We are very reactive and responsive to repairs. And what we say we do gets done. So that's, again, building trust in our new customers in us and providing them with a positive experience, because it's all about the customer at the end of the day.
Yeah, for sure. It is about that. So I think you mentioned 108-point checklist.
Yeah.
And that will cover everything from, I guess, the moment you walk through the door.
Yeah.
To
Does the doorbell work? Is the lock secure? Are there cracks in the glass?
Yeah.
When you take in our area, it might not be the same for your area, but in our area, we have to shut off the letterbox, and we have to have external letterboxes.
Oh, wow.
The rationale behind that is that someone might, and I don't suppose why they would do this, but they might pour petrol through, stick a lighter through, and suddenly that's an escape route. So they just say block off the letterboxes, have external, and then that gets rid of that risk. So we have to go through that. We check broadband, light sockets that they work. We check the pressure from the shower, the hot water, the drainage. We turn on all the taps to see what the system does, whether there's a drop in pressure in the water. So all of these things equate to an experience. All of these things represent something that could go wrong. And if you can just take some time to mitigate these things, and it doesn't take long. Once you've got a list that you can just literally go and tick off, then it makes it nice and simple. And the other good thing about a list is it can be given to someone else.
Yes.
So I don't have to go around and do that anymore. As long as we've got 108 check marks against 108 items, then I'm happy. If there's one missing, that's the one that I'm really interested in. And that's the one that I'm going to focus my time on in order to get right.
Yeah, that's fair. I've got nothing more to add to that, because it's 108 points. That's a lot of points.
Yeah. But I mean, every house is individual. And our points might not be applicable to others' properties. And I'm sure there are other things that we haven't encountered yet. So it'd be good if people listening to this, if you can share with us some of your failure points, things that have gone wrong when you've opened your houses, and then I can cross-reference that against my list. And maybe it might be 109.
Are we able to share our list with people?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, we will. It's all about getting it right for us. Because as I say, I'm passionate about the customer. And if there's anything that we can do to help your customers get a positive experience, then it's all good. But when you're doing a snagging on a rent to rent, that's completely different to a snagging when you buy.
Oh, yes.
So do you want to talk about snagging on the purchase?
Yes. So this is just as important for those of you who are looking to buy a property, to refurbish them and create them into professional HMOs, if that's your type of market. It's the same but different, if that makes sense. So the check-in process to get ready to rent out is the same as the 108 steps. However, we're doing a whole bunch of steps before we get to the 108 steps. Mm. So let me explain. When you are getting a building team in to refurbish a property, to make sure it's up to scratch before you then start advertising and marketing your rooms to rent out to your customers, you've got to be as diligent with the quality of the finish of your property as you would be if it was somebody else's property. So, for example, if we buy for ourselves or our clients a three-bedroom house, we're ripping it apart, we're making it into a six-bedroom HMO. I have a certain standard of work that I need my building teams to do. They are being paid for that to do it to a certain standard. Mm-hmm. Therefore, as you would do if you were doing a refurb in your own home, for example, you want to make sure that all those steps they've actually done. You want to make sure the quality of their finish is exactly as you've asked for it. So when I come to snagging properties that we buy, and believe me, this is not one of my favorite jobs, but I realize how vital it is because you're paying for this property and you've spent a lot of money and effort, you know, with your own money on this property. So it has to be right. So what I will do is I'll go around with a pad of A4 paper and I will go to the very top room or the first room in the property. I will then be looking at everything. It doesn't matter if there's a small scuff in the paintwork in the bottom far right corner of the skirting boards. That gets marked down as something to be fixed. It doesn't matter if there's a small gap between the wooden window frame and the wall, for example, that could be filled with some caulking, for example. Mm. That needs to be done because all these things are going to improve not only the property, but also make it watertight and just be, you know, it's what you've paid for. So I will go around every single room. If it's ensuite bathrooms, I'll be checking literally everything around the bathrooms themselves. I'm making sure that all the tiles have been correctly put in. They're all clean. You've got basically all the grouting's correct because I do not want a little tiny gap in grouting in a shower potentially causing me hundreds, if not thousands of pounds worth of damage, you know, in 18 months because I didn't check it first time around. And don't forget, your building team are there to fix it and do the property to the standard that you want. So it's a really nice thing. They don't necessarily like it, but it's why you keep back some money before you pay them their final amount of money once snagging has been done. So please be as diligent with your own properties, if not more, than you would be with a rental and HMO. It's the same process. You deserve that your property should be as the highest quality standard. So check everything. Check absolutely everything. Again, you can have a template. So start off with your very first HMO you're looking to convert and refurb, and then have your lists, however many lists there are, have those steps for property number 2, 3, 4, and 5, etc. Mm. It is worth doing, trust me.
Snagging. I know, so just from a cleaning perspective, we're always expected for new builds to go in and do a first clean so that you can actually see what the layout is and where, you know, the mastic needs to be rectified, where the covers need to be readjusted, where there's gaps in the skirting boards, like that sort of stuff. So it is definitely worthwhile doing. And I know it's time consuming. I haven't personally done it myself, but I guess it is time consuming. But like you say, you want to have, you know, a quality product that you're bringing to market first time around, right? And to prevent any problems going further down the line.
Yeah. And I say this as a massive generalization. So, you know, forgive me for those builders or refurb teams who don't do this. But I almost guarantee that every single builder, when you say to them, is it ready?
Yeah.
Have you completed everything? Yes, of course we have. Don't take their word for it. Please go and check their work. Make sure everything's been done. Because those little annoying jobs that aren't finished, doesn't matter how small they are, in the same way if you're taking on board a rent HMO and those jobs haven't been done, it will cost you. It will cost you time and effort and call-out charges once people are living in your house.
Yeah.
So please be thorough.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think, I mean, just having thought about it, I know we've covered sort of general HMO slang, whether it's rent-to-rent or building. I think it'd be quite useful, I think, to go a lot more in-depth from a building perspective, because I guess there's, you know, stuff to talk about in terms of contract terms and retention stuff and how long you retain for and, you know, when you release and all the money and all that kind of stuff. So I think that's something that we'll definitely cover off in a future episode. But for now, unless you've got anything else to add?
No, I think just for me, I've always got stuff.
Don't ask him that.
And a final word from Steve.
Final word. Right, turn that into something. Final word.
That's a new podcast.
Yeah. I mean, some of the common snags that you might find in a new build, and this is just going, racking through my brain on the last one. Making sure the fire door's closed, which is like, so simple, but the quality of the carpenter was so spot on that he'd actually cut the doors prior to putting the intermittent strip around the edge of the door, so that when he put the strip in, the door wouldn't close.
Yes.
And he was there and he was trying to force it closed. I said, you can't force it closed. The HMO officer is going to come on, he or she is going to open it, and they're going to expect it to close.
Mm.
And it just didn't. So he had to take the door off in order to shave a bit off so that it actually fitted. Whereas if they'd done that at the, or checked that at the appropriate stage, so snagging is, it's a continual process throughout the build.
Mm.
The final snag is the dotting the I and crossing T at the end.
Mm.
But at certain points, you have to go and check with your build team that certain things are happening. Another example at the very beginning of the last project that we did, was that we moved the cooker and the hob, but they'd already planned into the electrics where the electrics was going to go. So had we not picked up that the electrics for the hob and the oven were about a meter out of position, then that would have cost us a problem. So all these things are continual, and it all comes back to having a good relationship with your builder. B, your builder having the right skills. And it's all about communication.
Yes.
And having a plan at the very beginning of the build, your schedule of works with the specification, your floor plan, where everything is going to go. And if you start to move things around on your floor plan as you start to go through the build, that's where problems will come, as we did on our last project. One of the team was changing the floor plan and speaking with the builder and not letting the project manager go. The project manager was then having to work with the client, and the client was saying, well, that wasn't easy. So it all comes back to competencies at the end of the day. And the communication, the plan, and checking as you go, so the snagging becomes a continual check throughout the project, not just right at the very end. Because the last thing that you want to find out at the very end of the project is that the showers don't work, or there's a pressure drop when you turn on three showers and flush two loos, or that when you flush all the loos together, the water comes up out of the drain and floods the backyard. All these things you want to be checking as you go along, particularly the structural items, because to go back and correct the structural items, and by that I mean drainage, electrics, plumbing, is massively expensive.
Yeah.
You have to start taking walls down and damage the block, particularly if you're on a tight timeline to get customers in and getting the unit paying. So snagging is not just the end bit. It's checking at various stages that everything that your builder is doing is working, and that it's done in the correct order. For example, paint snagging, as Jamie just talked about, you don't want to be doing that when the carpets are down, particularly if it's skirting boards.
Yeah.
And you're relying on your painter and decorator to touch that up. won't betide if paint gets on that carpet. So again, it has to be very precise. I've seen projects whereby the carpet has gone down and the painting hasn't been finished.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, I look at it and I don't say anything because I dearly love the people. Maybe I should say something. I don't know. But it's the whole project is art about face. And the opportunity for things to go wrong, which then cost more money, is massive. So please, please, please don't just snag at the very end. Snag as you go through. Make sure your project runs to order. Make sure that you have good communication with your team so that they know what's expected of them, so that when you turn up, stuff is done and you're not having to go back repeating. I mean, I don't know how many times you had to go back from Bishop's Stortford to Coventry on the stage. I remember going up with you two or three times, and that takes time and money.
It does.
So
yeah, it does.
If you can avoid that, then that's a good thing. That's the final.
You see, Matt?
Final word.
It was worth it. His final words.
These golden nuggets.
Yeah, gems. HMO gems.
My golden nuggets.
HMO gems.
Yeah. I know, I should just be X-ray. Just don't ignore that. You know that. Cool. So I think that's a nice point to end the episode. Thank you very much again for joining. Make sure you leave comments, views, questions on the HMO Experience Facebook page. On our YouTube channel as well, if you're watching this in living colour. And make sure you join the Property and HMO Forum group on Facebook as well, where you'll be able to interact with like-minded people buying and carrying out rent-to-rent HMO. And I think the next episode is episode 18.
Yes.
And we are going to be covering off staging and photography. So as I explained at the opening of this episode, we've gone through the whole setup process, and now it's time to get your property and your rooms ready for marketing. So I think that's all I need to say to wrap this up. Oh, HMO Hacks. Hashtag HMO Hacks. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, all the usual stuff is going about. So I'll call it there from there. Goodbye from Jamie.
Goodbye, Jamie.
Goodbye from Steve.
Goodbye.
And goodbye from Matt. Goodbye, Matt.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the HMO Experience. Don't forget that all of the resources mentioned in each episode will be available on our website, www.thehmoexperience.co.uk. We regularly update our website with new content to help you along your HMO journey. So make sure you check out www.thehmoexperience.co.uk for more details. Also, remember to join our online community by liking the HMO Experience Facebook page and subscribing to our YouTube channel.